Text or WhatsApp your view to Greg on 086 60 25,000.
Thank you so much to all of you texting in so far this morning. A caller says, try living in Ashlawn. Have tried to get a councillor out to see what's going on. 400 cars between 4pm and 6pm. Cars use the estate because they can't get out through Gortley. So they're using, are they some sort of a unofficial bypass? Very frustrating. There was funding available, so they applied for it and got it, so now it has to be spent or you lose it. Instead of going and getting funding for a bridge and start the 10T project in Letterkenny and add it, but that would make too much sense. And it would, but in fairness, that's a different tranche of funding and there's a planning process and it takes so blooming long. I have sympathy, obviously, to make sure that anyone who's impacted by it, with the road either going through their house or close to the house, there has to be a proper level of consultation and their concerns have to be addressed. But other than that, things need to be able to move more quickly, surely to God. Let me see. I have a few more on traffic, do I? Yes, and then I'll get to some of your other comments here. Traffic backed up on Cullion Road to Ready Mix nearly every morning now. Another morning, Greg. It's almost 2 years since those ridiculous slides at the Polestar roundabout were installed. Can anyone honestly say they've improved the traffic? If you live in the Ballyrain area, as I do, it's been an absolute disaster. It is a joke. On to homes. Hi, Greg. The amount of people I'm chatting to are out so much money trying to rebuild their homes again. 30, 40, 50, 60,000 euro of their own money. They can't do it, thanks. And indeed, I know many, many myself as well. Siobhan on YouTube says, go on, Charles. Greg, you're missing the point. This is forcing the government to state their lies on the record. Well, if you read the, and I'm sure you have, Siobhan, if you read the counter motion from the government, it's stuff we've heard before and they believe it to be true, and supporters of the government also believe it to be true. So I don't think this is a gotcha in that regard, to be honest with you, because they will be more than happy to stick that on the record. Anthony on Facebook, Mr. Kelly's 100% spot on. Total madness, all for a cycle lane which only a handful will use. People will just avoid Letterkenny and take their business elsewhere. Staying with homes, good luck with this, Charles Ward. Good on you for being man enough to call it out. Who's willing to support or who is not? Re Enoch Burke, if the school is so right in dismissing Enoch Burke, the question has to be asked, why are they taking so long to hear his appeal? Something is far, far wrong there. Well, he's also been delaying the appeal process because he's been unhappy with some of the people that might be sitting on the appeals board. And it's quite possible, too, that Enoch might be trying to, because he doesn't believe it's a fair process, frustrate that as well. So there's a lot going on, and it's not because the case is so complex in the dismissal of Enoch Burke that's delaying the appeal. That's not what's mostly responsible for it. On the presidential election, the ongoing presidential battle is not really about either woman. It's not even about what they did or did not do in the past or indeed in the future. It's simply a smear campaign against Catherine Connolly. Well, if it is, if I were a Catherine Connolly supporter, I'd say keep coming at it because she's doing pretty well. And the smears aren't really, a lot of them aren't bothering people, you know, about who she may or may not have, who she may or may not have tried to employ or what have you. It's not what people are talking about around the kitchen table. Re Breastcheck. Hi, Greg. Why is Breastcheck removed from Letterkenny to Donegal Town, especially if you live in Inishowen? It's very far to travel at a time when they're telling women to avail of screening. I believe it was removed from Letterkenny in June. I'll have to double check that because I don't want to give in any false information out. I do know there is Breastcheck in Donegal, but I'll double check that info. But that's your experience, so I'm not questioning it, you know. I just want to make sure we're 100% right. On the issue of Gaza, a caller asks, do the public realise that Israel's now funding others to attack Hamas? Yeah, this is the world we live in now, whereby anything that happens is going to be disputed. And that's right. Maybe you're right. I'm not saying you're disputing it or you're wrong. It's just that, you know, what I saw on the TV yesterday, it's not a place I would like to live, not least, obviously, because of the lack of food and infrastructure and what have you, but just the violence and what have you. Good morning. This is the carriageway, Bonagie Road and Lurgybrack Road at the moment. It would fit the powers that be to get a solution to this rather than wasting time and hard-earned taxpayers' money on ridiculous cycle lanes that nobody uses. And I'm looking at the pictures here and chock-a-block, suffice to say. Just to give people an idea of what it looks like if you're watching the show, you can see there that there are queues on effectively what a back roads. There shouldn't be so many cars on them, but they're trying to avoid traffic. And everyone thinks they know the little sneaky way around it, but lots and lots of people do as well. So there you go. Any more views in relation to that? We will have to come back to that. Such is the level of interest in it. Okay. Now, we're joined on the programme by Jen Hogan, journalist and columnist with the Irish Times and host of Conversations with Parents podcast. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Great. Thanks so much for joining us. Now, earlier this week, we were contacted by a parent who witnessed two dads physically and verbally attack each other at an underage game because of a decision the ref made. Now, Jen, our guest, has written this week about the importance of the campaign Silent Sidelines. So talk to us. What is this campaign, Jen?
So Silent Sidelines is it's a campaign. Certainly it's been introduced again by the School Boys and School Girls League, where my children play, which is the DDSL. And it basically tells the parents and the coaches that they are to be silent on the sidelines. It's exactly as it sounds. So that means no shouting, no instruction. Clearly, obviously, no abuse. It's crazy that that has to be laid out in such terms, but that's the way it is. No mocking other children if things go wrong, not even your own child in terms of the shouting or instruction. Nothing like that is to go their way. And just basically silence. You can clap when somebody scores, but as a general rule, it's to be absolute silence and give the children time to find their own way playing. So even instructions from the coaches during the game were restricted to half time and having a little chat with them then. But otherwise, the instructions in go the players and they kind of work it out among themselves. So the kids get the opportunity to play. It sounds in some ways like parents are completely stepping back, but I suppose if you throw it back to how most of us played sports and played football and played other team sports in the olden days up on our local green area, we did that without any adult intervention and just played and got on with it and sorted out situations ourselves. So basically it's back to that in a desperate attempt to try and get adults to stop ruining the game for children, because the DDSL said that the abuse and the behaviour of adults on the sideline is basically having a detrimental effect on the players.
Yeah, and I know sometimes people feel it's passion and caring, but I suppose if you're on the receiving end, it doesn't feel quite like that. And I'm all on board for the parents and spectators following the rules as you've outlined. Is it not important, though, that the coaches can give instruction during the game? Is that not throwing the baby out with the bathwater? Because that helps the players develop and understand their positions and who they should be marking and what spaces they should be occupying. Is that not maybe going a little bit too far?
That's what I wondered. It's interesting. My husband coaches one of the teams, so I was very curious to hear from him. How did that work now? Because I thought that's just not going to play out very well. And I suppose what he witnessed was that the kids, and they're young enough children, they found their way. They started to guide each other a little bit on the pitch. There was the opportunity to give them some instruction at the beginning, and like I said, at the water break, where they could maybe reorganize the team and kind of remind people of their positions, and then again at the end. But the kids largely found their way again. I suppose the reason for doing that as well is that it's not just the parents on the sideline who are the problem. We have overly competitive coaches. They have been an issue in children's sports for a long time. They're destroying children's sports. Everybody wants to win. I mean, we all get that. Everybody wants to win. No matter how small the child is or how old the child is, everybody would like to win in theory. But winning cannot be the most important thing. It can't be winning at all costs to the point that we're driving children out of sports, or that we have children. We know we have a massive drop off in sports when we reach the teenage years, particularly with girls, but with boys too. And that's the kind of stage where you will start to see increased poor behaviour on those sidelines. So that while there is that fear of throwing the baby out with the bathwater, it's also supposed to remind the coaches that some of their behaviour is very questionable.
Oh, no, for
too.
Sure. That is it. Screaming at the ref, shout, "Oh, ref," even something as simple as that. It does educate the kids to start doing that. But yeah. I just think a bit of guidance in. You see, my concern, Jen, is this, and this would be a small part of it, from most accounts I speak to people sort of in business or in education is that we are producing, sounds awful, it's not a factory, but we're rearing children, you know, with increased anxiety, less confidence, mm-hmm. and certainly lacking sort of resilience and maybe even that competitive edge as they head into the workspace. It is a particular problem in certain sectors. And of course, then at the same time, we've been removing scoring from certain age levels of games or what have you, and everyone getting participation medals. Is it not important that we get rid of any abuse and pressure, but we do want to instill, do we not, in our kids sort of a sense of competition, the consequences of winning, and also how you deal with a loss, you know, because it's all well and good to have that massive victory and be euphoric, but I think it's important that kids also learn early on how you bounce back from defeat, how you cope with a loss. Because as I say, I do share the concerns, let me put it like that, that a lot of our late teens and even early 20s now, they're really lacking a bit of resilience and grit for a very tough life.
I think sometimes there's a bit of confusion, Greg, about what drives resilience. I mean, we build on resilience from positive experiences mm-hmm. in life, and we use it for when we kind of come up against those difficult challenges, like a match not going your way or like something far worse going on in life. And if you have that kind of self-esteem and that self-worth and that value and confidence in yourself, it's easier to draw on that resilience to cope with situations. But the problem in letting over-competitiveness take over, and I'm a huge fan of competitive sports, and I think every child still wants to win. They're still very aware. We can remove the score lines all we want. They're still aware who's won. I suppose the reason that we take away scores and that we're trying to include and promote more children becoming involved in sport is that we keep children in sport for as long as possible. And when sport's allowed to become overly competitive, there is increasing levels of competition as they get older, as children have a better understanding. But it's about trying to keep as many as possible involved in sport for as long as possible. When over-competitiveness takes over, children drop out. It becomes, if winning is the most important thing, then we're going to see children who perhaps don't, maybe who don't excel at much as sports, left on the sidelines, feeling excluded,
Just in relation to that, Jen, and I hope I'm not conflating, but I think an even more damaging area for children's self-esteem is what seems to be very common, and that is, you know, coaches maybe favouring family members or certain players, and you get that five or six players that spend most of the time sitting watching on.
Yeah,
I think that actually really has a very deep detrimental impact on children as well. Is there anything being introduced or looked at in relation to that in the clubs that you're involved with?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's absolutely rules around that children are supposed to have equal playtime and fair playtime, and that as the children go up through the different ages, there's differing amounts of that. But across the board, I have witnessed it across the board myself, this idea of having children left on the sidelines, favoritism definitely being shown. We have this thing called leapfrogging. I'm sure you've heard of it, where children who are younger are brought up to play on a team because they're considered better players, and then children of that age group miss out on playtime. It is rampant across sport. It is a massive issue. It definitely goes back to coaching and club culture again, where the idea of winning is far more important than giving children that equal playtime. And you're dead right. It is detrimental and incredibly damaging to any child to be left sitting repeatedly on the sideline, to feel excluded, to feel they have no value and they don't contribute to a team, because they recognize very quickly that they're the one who's always subbed or they're the one who's left sitting there. That's not building resilience either. That's encouraging children, I suppose, to drop out of sports, and then they're missing out on the lifelong benefits. Mm. Because for the majority of parents and coaches, they seem to kind of miss this. We will have these incredible people who hopefully go on to become professional athletes. But the majority of our children will just be involved in sports for the fun. The main reason they get involved is often just because of friends, and they get involved and they get to have those lifelong benefits, the health, the physical health, the mental health, the camaraderie, all of that. And we're depriving kids from that when we allow competition to be the main focus. It comes anyway. It's not to rule out competition totally, but it cannot be winning at all costs, because then we remove sport, we make it inaccessible to an awful lot of children, often the children who could benefit hugely from being involved. Every child could benefit from being involved.
Yeah, okay. It's a deep, complex situation, because if any of those kids do any gaming at all, for an example, it's an ultra-competitive space, and that's not even in the real world. And also, Jenny, if I could add, we've been talking about the children, and they're the most important thing. We have obviously tried to get coaches to choose their words carefully, and also to try and get parents to only make encouraging noises. That mustn't have worked if we're saying, right, everyone silent, let the kids play. But anyway, Jen, thanks for your time.
No problem at all.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
look
Greg,
after yourself. Bye-bye. Jen Hogan there, journalist and columnist with the Irish Times. Would you like to see that? You know, I know for a fact there, pretty much everyone listening to this show has a grandchild or a nephew or a niece or a son or daughter playing sports. Would you like silent sidelines, which is actually extended to coaches not giving direction whilst the game is in play? Yes, they can sort of, you know, suggest positional changes or what have you. I don't agree with. I've seen, and also it's difficult for me because I've tried to instill competitive nature in my children, right? I think that's actually really quite important. And I'm very competitive, whether it's playing tiddlywinks, darts, pool, golf, Call of Duty, whatever it is. Anytime I do it, I want to win. I kind of probably brainwashed my boys into thinking the same. So I don't mind that. But anyway, that's my view. I think it's important that kids learn how to win. I think it's important that kids learn how to lose correctly. But what's your views out there? Would you like to see silent sidelines? That means coaches, family, the general audience. You just stand there, you clap if there's a point, but you don't say anything else other than that. Would you like to see it? 086 60 25,000. V&M, Greg, who are these cycle lanes for? I don't know. Get them on. Actually, that's a really good point. There is, because the majority of people seem to against this, I'd be afraid that maybe cyclists who are looking forward to these lanes might not want to necessarily stick their head above the parapet. But certainly, if you think that these cycle lanes are a good idea at this time right now for Letterkenny, let us know. 086 60 25,000. But I think really for motorists, the learned experience, the engagement with cyclists is 2, 3, 4, 5 abreast on narrow roads, driving up the four lanes, not a sinner on the side. I mean, down towards Kilmacrenan, I see walkers on those cycle lanes. I don't really see any bikes. That's to be just the God's honest truth. The scooters are on the footpaths. They're supposed to be on the roads. So what is it all about? Who's it for? What are we trying to build? There's other areas where there is cycle lanes going in, and when Letterkenny gets its full town bus service, there's nowhere for the bus to pull in to let people to get on the bus. They're going to be stopped in the middle of the road as well. So cyclists will be cycling up and down these cycle paths up by Glen Carr and areas like that, right? And a bus will be stopping, letting an older lady or gentleman on or off the bus in the middle of the road whilst the cars are backed up behind them. That's the level of planning now. There aren't bays for the buses to pull in, sort of drop on, drop off, as far as I'm aware. I don't see them in the plans. And then you get down to the Mount Errigal Hotel, narrowing it down to two lanes. I mean, people, how many times have you been sitting trying to get through the Polestar roundabout now towards Derry or Donegal Town? That's going to be down to two lanes now. No right-hand turns below us here at the hospital, St. Connell's. You heard Donald Mandakelly outlining. I mean, what's that going to do to traffic? More traffic lights then in different parts of the town. I would love it to be a massive success. I would love it to be a massive success. Would I like to be starting a business in Letterkenny right now? No. No, because as I say, the businesses are fantastic. They're competitive. You've got customer services. They support the community. But as I says to Donald Mandakelly, there comes a point whereby do you have the time? Do you have the time if they don't get their act together in terms of the traffic? Do you have the time to spare to support these brilliant businesses? Now, we must return to the situation of the traffic in Letterkenny because so many of you are vexed by it. Rachel, sorry for holding on. I was supposed to come to you before 10, but we ran out of time. What's your view on all of this?
Hi, Greg. I suppose my view is much the same as what I was listening to Donald Mandakelly saying before 10, that it's all very well to have great plans to reduce the amount of traffic by increasing the amount of cyclists. but you have to make the whole place a bit more pleasant for the cyclists. And even if you do, as everybody has pointed out, it's a very hilly town and people are not necessarily going to take you up on your offer cycling anyway.
Mm.
You know, Mandy was saying that the reason there's this big push being put on for the act of travel is because there's funding has been granted, and if you don't use it, you lose it. But sure, what odds if you do lose it if you're using it for something that's a ridiculous way to spend money in the first place?
Yeah, and you know, like I cycling up past the hospital, I just can't imagine people are going to do that as part of their commute. You know, if you're heading into town for a dentist appointment or shopping, or I mean, I don't think your average person could physically cycle up that in any comfort at all. For an example,
no, that might be a rather poor comment on the fitness and health of our population.
Well,
in general,
I'm talking about myself, Rachel, so I'm all right. But you know what I mean.
Oh well, I'm the same. Believe you me. Yeah, I mean,
I'm not about the practical. I'm not about the practicalities of it, really.
Yeah, absolutely. You're not going to cycle up past the hospital with, you know, 20 kilos of groceries along with you. And at the moment, what seems to be happening around Letterkenny is that in a town that is already heavily congested and is an absolute nightmare to get about, to be honest, they're further reducing the amount of road space available for vehicles to move because they're using the road space that's already there to facilitate bicycles that aren't.
Now, I'm on roads at certain times, Rachel, and I accept that I don't have a full picture, but I can say categorically that I don't recall, and I'd keep my eye out, I don't recall ever seeing a push bike from, say, the roundabout at Pennies to the roundabout there at Solo, and then that ring road around sort of McDonald's and the other businesses. I don't really recall. I can't recall actually ever seeing a cyclist there because I would be conscious of not going in on the little cycle lane that's there. So I do keep my eye out. And I'm just wondering, like, where are these cyclists to come from if they're not already in the flat part of Letterkenny, for an example?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the whole Irish sort of mentality to travel, and particularly in a county like Donegal, which is basically a rural county, even if you're in Letterkenny, an awful lot of the people in Letterkenny are rural dwellers. And the whole mentality is that you need a car. You need independence to travel because traditionally public transport has been so poor. And it's going to take a huge amount of time and effort to change basically the national psyche. And I don't know that you ever will, but I don't think that putting in active travel lanes without first making avoiding Letterkenny easier for the cars is going to work. You know, a lot of us, like I'm coming from Rathmullen, if I want to go pretty much anywhere, it's very difficult to avoid going through Letterkenny.
So in other words, the ring roads, the bridge, a bus service, no disrespect to what's there, so that people have alternative means of travel or to avoid Letterkenny if they don't wish to go to it. And then it becomes a more attractive a place potentially to cycle. If it's not a push bike, maybe an electric bike. But I'm just wondering, like I cycle from work. If I would cycle from Highland here down that hill on that cycle lane, where do I go then? You know, how do I just cycle on the road down past the fire station, that crappy road that runs down to sort of McGettigan's Hotel? Where do I cycle there? You know, I'm in the midst and I'm at the will of the traffic. Do you know what I mean? Like it feels a little bit like the cycle lane to nowhere.
Yeah, like at the brewery here at Kinnegar Brewing, we would have a number of young staff, and they don't have cars. They live in town or on the outskirts of town, and they either walk or cycle. And even in the relatively short length of time that this business has been here, like we've had more than one member of staff hit on the bicycles traveling to and from work.
Yeah.
the cycle lanes, you know, if you think of the cycle lane there by the Aldi, the first Aldi, that's lethal. Mm-hmm. It's 2 foot wide and the paint delineating it has faded and anyone cycling would be taking their life in their hands to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the in-town infrastructure.
There's just so many things that need to change. We need to reduce the amount of traffic that is going through Letterkenny and would much rather not go through it. They'd much rather go around it,
mm-hmm.
so that there would be less traffic in the town. And if you're going to put in cycle lanes, you can't remove badly needed space on the road already. You need to create new space.
Okay.
So obviously, preferably not by cutting down very old trees around the town.
All right, Rachel. Listen, brilliant points, well made. Thank you so very much for that. And maybe I'm coming across as anti-cycle lane. I genuinely am trying to come up with some counter arguments and some positives. And maybe it's like the field of dreams. If you build it, they'll come. Maybe when these cycle lanes are built, it'll be like Holland all of a sudden, and people will be cycling all over the shop, ringing their bells and waving at each other and stuff. Giles McGee's owner of Charlie's Cafe Letterkenny. Good morning to you, Charles. Giles, I beg your pardon. How are you, Giles?
Morning, Greg. How are you getting on?
I'm getting on all right. You were on, I think you were on with me, talking about what was to come, and I suppose you would say we're seeing what we were talking about happening.
I don't want to say that I told you so, Greg, but this is exactly what was going to happen when this type of work happened in and around Letterkenny. I just want to be clear that I'm not anti-cyclist, because I'm a bit of a cyclist myself, or used to be, and I'm not anti-active travel and those things, and I'm not anti-progress, but like, Letterkenny needs to get rid of the traffic that's already there, Greg, before they start this madness of reducing cycle lanes and some, or reducing the roads to create cycle lanes and some of the busiest roads, quite possibly in Donegal. I mean, it's definitely the cart before the horse. And you know, I give praise to Mandy Kelly for coming on, highlighting again, and same to yourself, Greg, for highlighting these things. But I would like to hear from some of the councillors that have promoted this and have voted for it. Where are they? If it's such a great idea, Greg, how come they're not on the radio with you backing up their idea and giving the reasons as to why it would be such a good idea? They seem to have ran for the hills now when this has started, you know.
I spoke to a couple of them, and if the truth be told, they weren't necessarily fully sure what they were voting for. They've just voted along party lines. You know, there are some councillors who probably haven't been in Letterkenny for quite some time because they're from far-flung parts of Donegal. You've got cycle lanes running outside your business. Do you see cyclists on them much?
Greg, it's a rarity. It's very, very rare.
You mean to tell me there aren't people filling up their bicycle the bicycle baskets with freshly cut chips every day of the week? No,
Greg, you can imagine what your bag of chips would be like if you cycle down from Highland Radio to cycle back up again.
This is the point I'm saying. Like your business is in the flat part. It's the most accessible part of the town. You know,
totally.
If there was a culture of cycling, you would anticipate to see cyclists all the time.
You'd think it would be down here.
Yeah, and I don't see bicyclists at all.
No,
there.
Greg, I'm sitting looking out my front door here at the traffic going past, and I mean, there's no bicycles. Bikes, you know, they lined out the Pierce Road years ago when they were given grant money to put cycle lanes, I think on a semi-permanent basis onto the Pierce Road and other roads like it, and the cyclists don't use it. And whatever cyclists that there are, they're not necessarily like they're kind of leisure cyclists. You know, they're out, they've got all the gear on them, they're out, they're doing their 2 or 3 hours. They're not sitting, you know, in a 1 meter lane that's full of dirt. They have to sit out on the carriageway where it's clean and it's safer for them to do so instead of being tucked into the side of the road.
Well, I'm driving past your business here now on Google Maps, right? And I'm now up as far as Saunders. And obviously these are video. I have yet to see a cyclist, right? So you keep talking there. I haven't seen a cyclist yet on the road, let alone in the cycle lanes. But I'm still going. You chat away there. The road's busy. There's just no cyclists.
The road is busy. There's loads of traffic, but there are no cyclists. You know, this is part of the problem. There's new electric bike stand up there behind the old courthouse. You know, kind of halfway up a hill.
Yes.
You know, it just all of these ideas that, you know, they sound great, but in reality, they're being put in the wrong places. They're not being properly thought out. You know, the whole active travel plan for Letterkenny, while money has been granted for it, believe it or not, that money will be there in another 5 or 6 years' time, because Letterkenny is really one of probably the first 10 towns in Letterkenny or in the country to have this plan implemented. So my argument would have been, why doesn't Letterkenny sit back and wait until the 10T road's done, wait until some of the other towns have had it done, see what their experiences are, and then come up with a much better plan. They're not thinking these things through like a well thought out business has to think things through.
Right.
I mean, I can't just open today and think about today. I have to think about next week, next month and next year. But our council officials don't seem to be doing that, because, with respect to them, Greg, they don't have to go out and tomorrow morning and earn money to pay their bills on Friday evening.
Okay.
Not like the rest of the business in town do.
I've been listening to you, and I've gone around the road, out past the shopping centre roundabout, out past Letterkenny LYT, it's not called that anymore, ATU, and I'm now heading up towards the Sony Centre, up to the area where Corrie's is. I still have yet to see a cyclist on Google Maps. So there's a few
that's
walkers.
That's the flattest part of Letterkenny.
Right, okay. And I'm genuinely doing this, by the way, as I listen to you, and I have not seen a cyclist. Oh, sorry, I've got one.
Well,
I have one cyclist. I do have a cyclist.
How long have you been looking now at
I've gone
your cameras?
I've gone around
20,
the entire town. Yeah, here he is.
And you found what? You found one cyclist.
Yeah, he's opposite. He's just opposite where the Sony Centre is. And in fairness to him, he's
so
in the cycle
go.
Lane. Okay, but that's it. I've done the entire loop, and I got one cyclist.
That's one cyclist.
And in fairness, he was wearing his hyphens and everything.
Oh, fair play, but like, we're going to sacrifice all of our roads for one cyclist.
Yeah, well, and I say this is only a snapshot in time from Google, but as I say,
and Greg, I'm down here on the Pierce Road and I'm watching traffic every day. I watch it back up for no reason other than there are 2 minute traffic lights and stuff, but that's a different day story. So you can imagine what it's going to be like down here when when the actual travel plan gets going up past the hospital, up past Glencair, out to Ballyrain, out past the Mount Errigal, when all these roads get narrowed down and the thousands of cars that are coming into Letterkenny because they have to go through Letterkenny to go somewhere else. So we only think traffic's bad now.
Yeah.
Wait until these things are all completed. And my argument is to Jerry McMonagle and people like it. Like, Jerry's chatting about, we have to get these bloody people out of their cars and onto these bloody bikes, and you have to crack or break a few eggs to make an omelette. He's not the man that's reliant on all these people being able to move clearly and freely around town, and I am, and people like me are. And if them people would sit back and think logically about this and say, well, you know what, let's wait a little bit, and as Mandy Kelly said, the money that was allocated for the Taft to Travel plan would be much better suited being handed back to government and sit and wait until the other projects are complete first, because this really is the cart before the horse.
Right, so...
And the cyclists, they're not there. Like,
well, I've got repetitive strain injury on my right finger now, so I left your place, I went up to the Letterkenny Shopping Centre roundabout, I went down to the Polestar roundabout, right around, and I went out as far as the Aura Leisure Centre, and there was one fella on a bike. That was, now as I say, it's a snapshot, I'm not, but that's the evidence there.
Yeah.
I don't know what it proves anything, but that's it.
And bear in mind, we're at the start of the winter here now, so whatever cyclists we are going to see, Greg, we're not going to see them on a dark, dreary day like today.
Right, okay, listen, thanks for your time. Giles McGee, owner of Charlie's Calf Letterkenny. Sergeant Fergus McGrory is the Divisional Crime Prevention Officer in Donegal, and he joins me on the show now. Good morning, Fergus. Thanks so much for your time.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good, good, good. And we're getting the message out there today that Gardaí know that there are bogus tradesmen out and about in the county. So what's the intelligence or the information that you're working off here, Fergus?
Yeah, we've had a number of reports, Greg, in the last 24 hours of bogus tradesmen circulating in the county. We've had reports in Mobile and Greencastle area yesterday and other parts of Inishowen. And today we've had reports that they're in the Letterkenny area. So what we're appealing to the members of the public is not to engage with these people. They are bogus tradesmen. They're going around. They will be canvassing to do some work for you. They're also selling generators. We had similar problems in this regard earlier in the year in the south of the county. So we're appealing to everybody across the county not to engage with these people. They'll be travelling in vans and also camper vans. So just to be vigilant, and not alone that for yourselves, but just your older and more vulnerable neighbours, maybe just keep an eye out. And if you see these vans in your area, would you please let us know and do not engage with them at all, please.
Yeah, and it's great to see yourself and on God Ashi O'Connor getting this message out now, because this is live information, isn't it? Reports yesterday in Inishowen and in Letterkenny today. So it's at the moment and going forward to be on the lookout.
That's it, Greg. Just, you know yourself, if anybody comes onto your street offering you to do work for you or trying to sell you generators and that, but you please don't let them in around your house. There could be people trying to canvas or trying to cage out your house and see what's lying about that they could take with them as well. So don't engage them at all. We had a number of reports earlier, as I said, and already we had a number of reports earlier in the year of similar incidents happening in the south of the county in the Glenties and Donegal town area. And unfortunately, some people were caught out with that scam. People come around. They'll offer you to do work. They might give you a very good bargain. You often hear me talk, Greg, if something seems too good to be true, it generally is. Their vans may look legit. They may be marked with signage on the side of the vans. But just please, if those people come onto your property, will you please don't engage with them at all. And please report it to your local Garda station so that we know where they are. And we can keep an eye on their activities.
Yeah, look, there's a ton of work out there. And tradespeople are very, very busy. And not many of them are landing up, reputable ones are landing up offering to do work right there and then. So that is a massive red flag. Fergus, what is your advice, though? Because I have heard reports in the past that, you know, there can be that sort of shock and awe, that urgency, even maybe a bit of persistence and sometimes, you know, aggression. What is your advice to people in that situation if they meet them on the street? I mean, firstly, I wouldn't open the door, would you? And is it a case of ringing the Gardaí at that point or saying that you're going to ring the Gardaí if they don't leave your street?
Yeah, well, I would be letting the Gardaí know straight away, particularly if somebody comes to your door, Greg, and they're putting you under pressure and you feel that you're being pressurised. Please don't keep your houses locked and don't make it easy for these fellas to get in around your property. And if they do, if you could just note the registration numbers and report them to your local Garda station as well, so that we know what vehicles they're driving and we can monitor their activities. But definitely do not engage with them. Do not let them into your house and report it to us as soon as possible. And make them aware that you reported to the Gardaí as well, so that they'll move on somewhere else. But I would also ask for people, if you know somebody living alone or somebody in your community that may be vulnerable, will you keep an eye out for your neighbours? I know that there's a lot of local community alert groups and WhatsApp groups and stuff out there in the community. Would you just be vigilant for each other and let us know if you know these people are knocking about your area?
All right, listen, thanks for that. That's Garda Sergeant Fergus McGrory there, the Divisional Crime Prevention Officer in Donegal. There are bogus tradesmen out and about. They were in Inishowen yesterday. Some reports of them in Letterkenny. It's really sound advice from Fergus there. Keep your houses closed. If strange vehicles come onto your street, you don't have to engage. You know, sometimes we'd be too polite for our own good, especially if we're a little bit older, and call the guards. That's a live warning for you. So just be extra careful, extra vigilant. And as Fergus was at pains to mention there, keep an eye out for your neighbours, because these people, they're good at what they do, if I could put it like that there, and they will try and, you know, deal with someone that might be easier to exploit, if that makes sense. That's right now. So keep your eyes and ears peeled, folks, and we appreciate Ferguson. And by the way, it's obvious, and it was said off air, the Gardaí are not sitting waiting for you to call. They know what's going on, and they're out and about and active as well. It's just for you to help them in that regard. Okay, so look after yourselves, and it's just a bit of useful information for you there. Recycling. What is happening in Letterkenny is totally unacceptable. Over cycle lanes, businesses will lose trade. The traffic is bad at the best of times, but closing down lanes will make the town a no-go area. Why don't those who are in power that come to this decision come on and tell the public it is justified? Another, hello Greg, take a look at the mess of a road in Lifford to Castle Finn. It's a joke, cycle lane taking up the whole road. It's a disaster, they say. Another, the government did a bike scheme to allow people buy bikes and get tax relief on them. We all know they were bought and never used. I'd love to see a survey on bike use to work and school done in Donegal. That scheme's still live, by the way. Actually, it's quite useful if you want to get a bike leisure. There are still tax breaks in relation to that.